Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin M, Mercy, with our guest, Dave Cordero, episode 156.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
What in the world was that noise?
Did you like that?
That was kind of different.
That was a wind chime.
A new, not a new wind chime.
It's not new. We've had it for a long, long time. It came apart at one time, and it's been laying in the garage, and you found it, I guess, the other day.
I was doing a little preliminary work to our rearrangement of the garage, and one of the wire hangers that held the elk together had broken. So I fixed that, and we're getting ready to put that up on outside the podcast palace.
Right on the deck outside your door.
Right. I don't know if people will be able to hear it. That's why we did that.
I closed the door now, so you won't be able to hear it.
All right. Well, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
I'm Dee.
And I'm Tom, the deacon. We're sort of glad that you're with us for this show, because if I have any hope of joining the lovely Dee in heaven, it will only be through God's mercy.
Oh, that's what mercy is all about.
Yes, it is, yes. Well, God's mercy is found in so many places, so many ways. And as we have said from other times in other shows, often God's mercy is found in the person who's next to you in the pews. And that's what we're going to present in today's show with our relatively new parishioner and friend, Dave Cordero.
And many times he's very close to me in the pews.
Yeah, right, right. Well, dear, what's going on? Our show is, what did we even say? Yeah, I guess you did.
Yeah, Mercy.
All right, it's Mercy. It's show 156. You said that.
Yeah, well, first off, let's start out with one item that we need to correct. We already did put a correction on our Facebook page, on the Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, that is. And that is about Justin.
Oh, yeah.
Our correspondent, Justin, and his wife are supposed to be on EWTN Life on the Rocks. And we made an announcement last week on the podcast that they were going to be on this past Thursday. But then Justin said, oops, I made a mistake. They're recording us last week, but it's not airing until this week. So Thursday, October 18th, coming up.
Sorry if we misled you, but that was the information we had at the time. It's since been corrected.
Right. So now we got to go back and reset our TV to record.
Yeah.
Just in case we're not there to see it.
Right. So I see the words Judy Zarek email.
I'm just going to plug that again, too, because she wanted us to share with our listeners that her email address in case anybody had any ideas for future interviews or stories she could do.
Do you not read our blog page? I put it on our blog page.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
So it's on our blog page.
Well, what's the email address? Oh, the Bickersons are back.
So it's jzarik. Now that's JZARICK at franciscanmedia.org.
We've had some good feedback on the visit from Judy on our show, and just so we could do a little bit of prattle about this, I did 5 homilies Monday through Friday because our pastor was away, and I was talking about the year of faith. And on one of the days, I had prepared 3 pages of ideas and resources for people to do and use for the year of faith. I guess if there's anybody who's listening to our show who would like to see what I did as a handout, I could email that to you as an attachment to an email.
And one of the things you did was talk about Judy's book.
I did. Moved by Faith is the name of her book. I think we're doing a giveaway on a copy of that, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like a number of stories, like 60 or 80 stories from Judy's book moved by faith. They're people who are ordinary people in the pews who have been touched by the Holy Spirit and have responded positively.
I also wanted to make a little plug for us.
Okay.
It was our friend Daniel, who listens to us regularly, who clued me into this, but Sarah Reinhardt did a plug for us, a little article on the New Evangelizers site that she helps out with.
Okay.
So I was really pleased about that. Thank you so much, Sarah. Anybody wants to find that article, just go to newevangelizers.com. And it's a very long link, so maybe we can put that in the show notes.
Thank you for reminding me. I'll do that. And Sarah Reinhardt has gone from being an occasional blogger to a frequent blogger to the author of the Book of the Month Club.
She's like all over the map.
Well,
she's taken after Lisa Hendy.
I know. Bless them both. All right, dear, I think that is the beginning of our show. Do we have anything else to do in our vitamin P for prattle section?
No, but maybe we can end it with you playing a little bit of feedback.
Oh, yes. We did hear some audio feedback. What's the background on this? Do you want to say anything?
Well, Chris from the Life on Fire podcast won our Vita Scrabble last time, and we sent him his little prize and of course, our Catholic Vitamin sweet treats. But I threw an extra one in, an extra sweet treat in for his son, Linus. And Chris emailed us later, and he says, just wanted to write and thank you wholeheartedly for the Catholic Vitamins care package. I plan on sharing the wealth with my family, as I'm sure that Tanya will appreciate the CD as well. Tanya's his wife. Linus is extremely excited and happy about you giving him his own sweet treat, and I'm pleased to tell you that your sweet treats are his favorite kind of treats. No kidding. He won't get them until after he eats his dinner, of course. And then he also ventured a guess for today's vitamin.
All right. Well, thank you for that feedback, and here it is.
Do you deep in for a sweet treat?
And D2.
All
right.
In my own life, God's mercy was first found in a Jewish businessman who gave great witness in what it means to trust in mercy. I briefly told the story of a gentleman that I did some work with and how he made the hard decision to acknowledge his sinful ways in which he had cheated his employer for years. He threw himself on the mercy of his employer, and it was like a scene from The Return of the Prodigal Son. And his example, that is the example of the non-Catholic Jewish businessman, was a step in my own prostration before the mercy of God the Father. And in the journey since then, I've come to know and love the divine mercy of the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. I found Jesus to be gentle, patient, and always ready to aid in a gentle return to his love and his grace. Today on our show, we bring you another story of God's mercy. We hope you enjoy it. Here's a little bit of music from our friend Donna Corey Gibson.
Divine mercy, show them mercy.
Next up on Catholic Vitamins, I'm sitting with a relatively new friend, a man who's moved into our parish and into our hearts, and we're sitting here in the podcast palace, and we're going to spend some time with Dave Cordero. Dave is a revert to the Catholic Church. He is becoming an active part in our parish here in Arizona, North Central Arizona, and he's jumped into serving the church and being a part of some of our church in the home type activities. Dave, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you very much, Tom. It's great to be here.
All right. Well, Dave, we know that you have a story of sharing God's tender mercy in your life, but let's get back to the early days. Was there ever a young Dave?
Oh, obviously there was.
Sure.
I guess the best thing to do is, I remember being baptized. My mother was a divorced young woman and married a Catholic man, and I was 4 years old when I got baptized as a Catholic, so I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose from 4 to 12, I can hit on that pretty quick. My mother was very, very religious woman and loved God, and my dad did too, but he was an abusive guy, and so I didn't have a close relationship with him. And when I was 12, I became an altar boy and absolutely loved it. I'd have served Mass every day. What I used to do is I would get up like at 5 o'clock in the morning, ride my bicycle to work or school, not school, church, serve Mass, come home, eat breakfast, and go to school. And I was loving it. And my dad got mad at me. Why? I don't know. He just did. And I had a priest. I spilled candle wax on the altar veil. And the priest, he'll remain nameless, was so irate that after the Mass, he was using the most filthy language, and it just tore me apart.
Oh.
And I went home and told my folks about it, and they just said, "Nah, don't even worry about it." So at 12 years old, I divorced myself from the Catholic Church. When I was 17, I left.
Gosh. What did you find for faith practice, or what did you do when you were in your teens?
Early teens, from 13 to 17, I went to the Catholic Church, went to CCD, but it was nothing more than something I had to do.
Okay, all right.
So when I was 17 to 24, I went in the service, became the best heathen in the world, and I had no religious affiliation at all. I didn't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 24, I was in Turkey, and I just knew that I was on a bad path. And so I told myself that when I get back, we used to call the United States, when I get back to the world, that I was going to be real religious and go to church, and I began to read the Bible every day.
While you were still in Turkey?
Yes. Mm. And I just started at Genesis. I didn't know where else to start, so I remember reading Genesis, and that's about it. And when I came back to the United States, I was on leave, and I told my grandpa that when I get to Cheyenne, Wyoming, which was my next duty station at Francis E. Warren Air Force Base, that I was going to be real religious and go to church. And he said, "Well, you need to find a full gospel church. The only thing I knew is that I wasn't going to be a Catholic." And so I drove around the streets of Cheyenne, Wyoming until I saw a big sign that said, "Full Gospel Assembly of God." So I started going to the Assembly of God when I was 24.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did that work for you?
Well, apparently it worked pretty good because I became an Assembly of God minister and served them for 14 years, pastored some churches, and then pastors don't have problems. But in my case, I did, and it ended up in a divorce. I guess Jimmy Swaggart and I had a lot in common because I did have an affair. It's not something that I'm proud of, and it took me years to be able to admit it to someone. But I did have an affair. I have never been so low in my life. And it was like the Lord would speak to me and said, look how far you have fallen.
Mm.
Look how far you have fallen. His grace, I can only say His grace, brought me back. And I served, I can't say I served the Lord, but I went to church faithfully with the Assembly of God until I got divorced, and I kind of went my separate ways, and I was a Baptist, and I was a Lutheran, and I was a Disciples of Christ, and that was my religious life until I was, I must have been about 58 or 59 years old, and I said, I need to really seek the Lord. There was just something in my heart that told me I need to get close to Jesus. And my ex-wife, who is now a late wife, had told me, your church was your mistress.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know exactly what she was talking about. But now that I'm looking back, I realize that I really didn't seek God because I loved Him so much. I sought God for sermons. I needed to build a sermon. So I would seek the Lord and study and pray so I would have something to share 3 times a week.
As a pastor or as a minister?
As a pastor, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told the Lord, I said, I am not going to do this for any other reason, just because I love you. I just want to love you. So I began to read the Bible and pray. And it was during this time that occasionally I would feel a desire to go to the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know. But I want to go back to when I was an early, early Assembly of God pastor. And I was reading Cross and the Switchblade.
Oh, I remember that title, yeah.
Yeah, Nikki Cruz wrote the book. And David Wilkerson wrote the book about Nikki Cruz. Anyway, David Wilkerson went to New York and couldn't find a parking spot, but finally found a parking spot, and he went and knocked on the door to the person that he was going to see. And this Puerto Rican man said... This Puerto Rican man said, oh, Father Wilkinson, he wasn't a priest, but, you know, oh, Father Wilkinson, we have been praying to Mother Mary that you would come see us. And I just was taken aback. And I said, God, you do listen to Catholics. And the little thought that was deep in my heart said, more than you'll ever know. And so that was my first real thought about the Catholics. And then years later, in fact, I was going to a Lutheran church, and what I would do, it was I would read the Lutheran liturgy in the bulletin as my devotions, and I would walk 2 or 3 miles. And one day the thought came to me, make the sign of the cross. Mm. And I said, I'm not doing it, it's Catholic.
Mm.
Make the sign of the cross. I'm not doing it. It's Catholic. And the Lord, when He's working with you and you're arguing with Him, He usually wins. And so I said, okay, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And something happened, and I said, there's blessing in that. I feel blessing. I feel anointing in that. And so I started doing the sign of the cross every day. It is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
There are many times at work when something's not going right, I'll just say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, just invoking the presence of the Lord just helps so much. So, going back now to about four years ago, I was just really seeking the Lord, and I was so hungry for Him. And I said, if I could just go somewhere where I could go to communion every day. Bing! The light went on.
Catholic Church, sounds like.
Yeah. So I went down to St. Mary's, which is at in Chandler, and the same beautiful feeling that I had when I was 12 years old as an altar boy came back to me just like that. And I realized then that my call wasn't to be a Protestant minister. My call was to be a Catholic priest. And my mother had prayed that when I was born, that I would look just like my dad and would be a priest. And I told my mom just it had been about a month ago or so, I said, if anything ever happens to Char, I said, I'm going to fulfill your first prayer. So I just began to seek God, and I went to communion, and I went and told my friend. I said, God's doing something in my heart. And he says, well, you need to go talk to Father. So Father Sigmund was there. I just love him. And he looked at me and he said, you mean you have been away from the church for 48 and a half years? You need to go to confession.
Amen. Yes, I was wondering where that was.
And he said, and there's not a priest in the world that won't welcome you back. Mm. And so I don't know why I didn't say, well, let's go to confession. I just went home. And my son said to me, he said, what are you going to tell your mother when she finds out you're going to a Catholic church? And I said, I'm going to tell her what it says in Proverbs. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it.
Amen.
Mom, you raised me to be a Catholic, and I'm old. So anyway, I started going to the Catholic Church, and I told my mom, I said, yeah, I'm going to the Catholic Church, and I'm enjoying it very much. But there's two things, Mom. I am not going to confess my sins to a priest, and I'm not going to say a rosary.
Uh-oh.
So she was very happy with that. So something very funny happened when Father Sigmund told me, he says, you do have to go to confession. So I called the church office up, and I said, I need to make a confession, 48 and a half years. And I talked to Father Jess, who is a Filipino priest, and I just love him so much. And he said, okay, come on up. And so we were sitting in his office, and my attitude was not good about the confession. I said, one more Catholic hoop to jump through.
Mm-hmm.
That was my attitude. It was a bad attitude, but I wanted the Eucharist. So I'm sitting there talking to him in his office, confessing my sins, and kind of pretty much using the same tone of voice that I have now. And he said, you need to keep your voice down. They might hear you out there. And I said, I don't care if they hear me or not. I said, it's not that big a deal. And so he gave me absolution, and he said, okay, for your penance, say a rosary.
Oh, no. Confession and the rosary. The two things we're not going to do.
Well, the Holy Spirit is at work. So I said my rosary with some friends that would gather in front of a Planned Parenthood there in Chandler every Saturday morning, and I said my rosary looking up in the sky waiting for the lightning bolt to get me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you're AG, you know, rosary is idolatry.
AG being Assembly of God.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's idolatry, you know. So I had to go to work that afternoon. I was driving down Highway 60 going to the East Valley, and I was banging on the steering wheel, and I said, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. I don't understand this, because I was flooded with peace.
Oh.
The peace of God that passes all understanding, that it was a good thing to pray the rosary.
When a penitent heart meets God's mercy.
Yeah.
A peace beyond all understanding.
All understanding. And so I've been a regular practicer of praying the rosary almost every day. There are some days that I miss. But it has really contributed to the changing of my life. and that I have a peace and a fellowship and a walk with Jesus that I'd never had in my life before. I just love him so much. I feel like Thomas Aquinas when the Lord said, what would you have? What would you have me give you? And he said, Thomas said, I just want you.
Yeah.
I just want you. I just want Jesus. He has blessed my home. He's blessed my life. I can't express to you. I've been going to daily mass now for, this is going on 4 years. And since I'm at Payson now, I have to work double weekends. That means I'm at work at 6 o'clock in the morning and I get off at 10 o'clock at night. So I can't go to church on Saturdays and Sundays. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm there. Tom can vouch for that.
Absolutely. And it's a joy to be able to be at Mass with you on those days and to serve you communion. I know from our talks how important this has become in your life.
The Eucharist is my life. I remember praying the Luminous Mysteries, and the fifth Luminous Mystery is the institution of the Eucharist, and I would add to it, this is why I live.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I live. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ coming into my life. And if every crumb is the body and blood of Jesus, every molecule of it is the body and blood of Jesus, and it flows through your bloodstream to every cell of your body. When you shake hands with a believing Catholic, you're shaking hands with Jesus Christ, the
Amen.
Son of God.
Amen.
So one thing I wanted to add is that in the process of when I had gotten away from the Assembly of God and started, I did some things that I'm not proud of, but one of the things is that I began to have a pornography addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't something that I had talked to one priest about it, and he said, well, you know, typically a person that has a pornography addiction is looking at it like 4 hours a day. He said, I don't think you're there. And I said, no, I'm not there. I mean, but it was an occasional thing. The fact of the matter is, it is sin. The fact of the matter is, you cannot have a relationship with Jesus Christ and a relationship with pornography at the same time, because God won't be a part of it. God loves me. His love does not change. But I remember praying about this. And I said, Jesus, I want a relationship with you more than I want a relationship with an electronic media watching people having sex. And when I said that, something changed in me. Something, I had no more desire to turn on the illicit pay-per-view things on TV. And that doesn't mean the temptation doesn't come every once in a while, but it is, all I have to do is just redirect myself. All I have to do is just kind of look over at the rosary and just tell the devil I'm going to start praying. And this has been one of the greatest healings that has ever taken place in my life. I also had some areas, I had terrible language. And that is something that I still don't have total victory over, but at least I pray about it every day. And I used to have a photographic memory for dirty jokes. I can tell you a joke that I heard 50 years ago. And I'm good at telling jokes, and I just learned how to do it. And come to find out, after talking to my mother, it was a very offensive, but everyone was laughing, so, you know. And so I asked the Lord to take away that, the pornography, the dirty jokes, and the cussing. And he has two of them I can put resolved, because I don't do them anymore. I do occasionally at work. It gets so frustrating and everything, and I just say the word sometimes before I even think them. And the other one is, I'm 70 pounds overweight, and I don't want to be 70 pounds overweight. I want to be a lean, trim, 230 pounds, just like when I was working in the Oklahoma oil field many, many years ago.
Dave, I have gone to a care center here where there are a lot of seniors and people with dementia and Alzheimer's. I've seen your tender care for people. You bring now Christ to them. You become a nurse, a male nurse, and how's that working for you?
I think it was probably the best decision I ever made as a vocation. I was not called to be an Assembly of God pastor. I've told you that. So it was about 20 years ago that I read all the time, and I said, I'm going to keep track of how many books I read. And so I wrote them down on a piece of paper, and between January 1st and March 31st, I had read 33 books. And I said, you know something? I need to go to school. I need to put this, make money with this, because I was working as a CNA, which is a certified nursing assistant. And I told my wife, I said, I need to go to school. I don't need to go to school for you. I need to go to school for me. And I'm going to be a nurse. And I did the program at Maricopa Skills Center. Thank you very much for Maricopa Skills Center for accepting me as a student. And I did your curriculum and I graduated. And I love being an instrument of God's hands for healing. And I find myself many times praying with my patients and encouraging them that God is with them and he's going to take care of them. And then also doing the medical part, you know, the doctor says, you know, they need this medicine, so I give it to them. Mm-hmm. And cleaning their wounds and it's...
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, our guest on this episode of Catholic Vitamins is a man relatively new to our circle, if you will, and he's lecturing when he's at daily mass, very, very pious in his approach to the Eucharist and in talking about the church and about Jesus, as you've heard. And we have a book study group, which has taken a little time off from books, and we've been doing the Catholicism DVD project. Last night, a number of us were together, and we watched a episode with Father Robert Barron on the Mass and the Eucharist, and I know you were moved by it, weren't you?
Tremendously.
Oh, just absolutely wonderful. And it's so good when brothers are together in the faith. As yes. Iron sharpens iron, you remember that saying?
As iron sharpens iron, yeah. So a man sharpeneth a man.
Yeah, exactly. Really, really good to be with you. We are both celebrating God's mercy in our lives. We both need it. I don't know so much about Dave anymore because he said he's cleaned up his act, but I'm still a sinner and looking for God's mercy to help me. We're just 2 feet from a Divine Mercy image on the wall nearby, and on another wall there are a number of crosses reminding us about what God in his mercy and love did for us. Dave, thank you for coming into our lives, for showing us another dimension of God's mercy, and for sharing your journey with us.
Can I say something?
You bet, yeah.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for my sin and the sins of the whole world.
Amen. God bless, David.
Thank you.
A great interview with Dave. I learned some things.
Did you?
Yeah, I almost felt like I was this guilty person outside the confessional booth who could hear what was being said inside.
David, thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your friendship. And we have lots of miles to walk together in faith, for sure. Dear, do we have anything that we need to cover before we bring up our first correspondent, Justin?
I think not. You can go ahead and bring him in.
All right. Let's listen to a new evangelization podcast segment with our correspondent, Justin Stroh.
Welcome to this new evangelization, Kindling for the New Evangelist. This is Justin Strong. As this podcast is being recorded, the World Synod of Bishops are meeting in Rome with the Holy Father on the topic of the new evangelization. And at the forefront of their meditation is the verse, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Now, of course, this comes from that famous scene, the Divine Mercy scene, when our Lord has risen from the dead and he comes through the locked door and he breathes on the apostles and he gives them the authority to forgive sins. This is the glorified Jesus in his resurrection saying a profound statement to the apostles. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. He gives them his heart. See, this is why we need to obey our bishops. We obey them because they have been given authority, the very heart of Christ. Authority that is not an unwielding authority. It is not an authority that we have to cower from, but authority that we, when we come under it, we glorify the Lord. We glorify the Lord, and we can do so with great enthusiasm because we die to ourselves and live for Jesus Christ, present, yes, in the person of our bishop, who has the fullness of holy orders. When you're in the presence of your bishop, why not kiss his ring? Why not show reverence for the authority in the heart of Christ? In the year of faith, let's return to this communion with the apostles. Let's lay everything at their feet. For the bishops are the successors of the apostles. It is in this year of faith that we're called to a new kind of prudence. Not the prudence necessarily that means only holding one's tongue, but the prudence that says unleash your tongue. For in prayer, we will know what to say. Through pleading, we will receive wisdom and the countless riches that come with wisdom. For God wants to fill us with his love. And when he does, we will sing for joy. A joy that says, there is only one Lord, and I long to see him. His name lasts forever, and he has responded to me with a two-edged sword, his word. And with this sword, he penetrates my soul and body, and he makes a fissure and enters in to my heart, to the very core of my being, and he sees everything. And he asks me a question that he asks the rich young man. Why do you call me good? Lord, I've followed your commandments. I'm seeking after you in all things. What else must I do? Sell all. Give all. For if you possess wealth, wealth will possess you. So possess God, and God will possess you. For nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Another way of putting it is, the no thing is impossible for God. He won't say no to those that really do seek after him. He will question us. He will challenge us. But he will say yes to us. He will invite us into his sacred heart. Satan is frozen in a forever no. He has embraced the no thing. I say, let's proclaim that. Nothing is impossible for God. It's like a minor exorcism. Because Satan wants to convince everything around him, everyone around him, that they are nothing. And that they are incapable of receiving anything from God. But for God, everything is possible. And he says yes to us. He says yes to us in his sacred heart. This is why I have put together a collection of music called O Sacred Heart. It's available on iTunes. You can just search my name and Sacred Heart. You'll find it. I encourage you to pass it on, to listen to the tracks, and to allow the music to encourage and inspire you to continue to seek after this good God and to call him good and to be questioned by Christ.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
We are blessed to have Justin Strohe quite often, almost every week, on Catholic Vitamins. And don't forget that Justin and his wife, Lynette, will appear on EWTN's Life on the Rock program Thursday, October 18th. Be there or be square. Make sure that you see it or tape it, and you'll get to view them in action. I also want to let everyone know, as we are ready to bring up Mariana, our correspondent, our chief journalist from the Great Lakes region, that Mariana just celebrated a birthday. Now, someone bugged her Facebook page and made it look like she's in her 40s. We happen to know she's in her late 20s. But in any case, would you do some sort of reach out on Facebook or Twitter or through Catholic Vitamins and wish Mariana a blessed birthday? It'll be a few days late by the time it gets to her, but I know that she'll appreciate that. Here is Mariana with her reflection on mercy.
This is Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. Imagine growing up in Orléans of St. Joan of Arc fame in the 1600s. Recovered from the Hundred Years' War, this north-central French city on the Loire River has the amazing Gothic Cathédrale Sainte-Croix d'Orléans, or Cathedral of the Holy Cross, a thriving university dating back to the 1230s, and is a transportation center filled with culture and commerce. Next, imagine you receive a fine education and are ordained a Jesuit priest. You can fit right in with intellectuals and rulers of the day, but you feel called to remote forests, to serve people who have never seen a modern city, don't speak your language, and are fierce warriors. This is St. Isaac Jogues' story, and it has given me chills since childhood. His superiors sent this native of Orléans to serve Hurons and Algonquins in North America in territory called New France. In a canoe en route, several Christian companions and he were captured by Mohawk Iroquois. Father Isaac Jogues could have easily died from blood loss or gangrene after his captors tortured him and chopped off several fingers. He survived and became a slave of the Mohawks, seeking every chance to teach the people about Jesus and God's mercy. When Dutch merchants learned of his plight, they smuggled him off to present-day Manhattan. Miraculously, he sailed back to France, where people greeted him as a living martyr. He was even given special permission by Pope Urban VIII to celebrate Mass with his mutilated hand, since the Eucharist is only supposed to be held by the thumb and forefinger. He had certainly earned safety in some quiet assignment, but after just a few months of recovery, St. Isaac Jogues headed back to North America. A shaky peace was forged between the Iroquois, Huron, Algonquin, and the French, and in 1645, Jesuit fathers Isaac Jogues and Jean de Lalande went into Mohawk country to act as ambassadors. But illness and crop failure had hit the Mohawks. We know today that increasing numbers of European children immigrating into the New World were helping to spread smallpox. But Indians feared the missionaries were magicians who were casting spells on their tribes. The missionaries preached peace, but when they were captured by a hostile group of Mohawks, they were taken to the village of what is now Uriesville, New York. The Turtle and Wolf clans of the Mohawks argued for the priests' lives and wanted to free them. But members of the fierce Bear clan ambushed the men from behind using tomahawks to behead them. For Catholic Vitamin J for Jubilee, I told how my family drove along the St. Lawrence Seaway, past Quebec City to the spectacular shrine of St. Anne de Beaupré. We didn't realize at the time that when Father Isaac Jogues was martyred by the Mohawks, his body was thrown into the St. Lawrence River. Just about 10 years after this martyrdom, an Indian maiden was born near Oresville. Kateri Tekakwitha was the daughter of a Mohawk chief and a Catholic Algonquin woman, and it is thought she belonged to the Turtle clan who had argued to save Fathers Jogues and Lalande. Kateri lost her brother and parents to smallpox that also left her with impaired vision and facial scars. She was quiet, avoided social gatherings, and covered her head with a blanket to spare others the sight of her scars. She was mocked and cast off by her tribe because she took a vow of virginity, consecrating herself to God. When she died at the age of 24, eyewitnesses saw her face bloom into beauty. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Tertullian penned these words around the 2nd to 3rd century after Christ. It seems that the sacrifice of Saints Isaac Jogues and Jean de Lalande watered the soil that nurtured Kateri, known now as the Lily of the Mohawks. In the United States, we celebrate the feast of the North American martyrs, also known as St. Isaac Jogues and Companions, on October 19th. And on October 21st this year, Pope Benedict XVI is scheduled to canonize Blessed Kateri Tekakwitha. It seems something really significant, some powerful force for good, will be unleashed with this event. And the Native American community, it has waited for this canonization day for centuries. I started this missionary moment with the Huron Carol, written in 1643 by Father Jean de Brébeuf, another North American martyr. He wrote the carol in the language of the native Huron Wendat people and based the tune on a traditional French folk song. He overcame tuberculosis to come serve the Hurons near Lake Huron, and many of the Indians came to love him and follow his faith. When he was later captured and tortured by Iroquois, the warriors consumed his heart because they hoped to gain his courage. He was a massive, powerful man with a gentle way, and people said he did not cry out in pain even once at the end. Not everyone has the courage of St. Isaac Jogues or Jean de Brébeuf, but we do have the actual saints pulling for us. Their interest in saving souls didn't end when they reached heaven. Maybe this October, as we put out our pumpkins, we can call on all the saints and remember that Halloween is really All Hallows Eve, the day before All Saints Day, honoring all saints in heaven, known and unknown. You might plan a trip to the National Shrine of the North American Martyrs, also known as the Shrine of Our Lady of the Martyrs in Orrisville, New York, or visit the National Kateri Tekakwitha Shrine outside of Fonda, New York, also the site of the only fully excavated Iroquois village in the country. My husband and I took our children to the rustic chapel and museum in its 200-year-old barn, and it was an awesome experience to pray and learn more about our North American saints. With the saints on our side, any first timid steps into holiness will grow bolder with practice, even if we're in a situation or a time in our life when we're especially hidden or lonely. We can be assured we're not alone in living our faith. Holiness spreads, it bridges heaven and earth, and practiced on a large scale will renew a nation.
Happy birthday, Mariana. Gosh, you've just set my heart on fire for the stories that you've shared there, the missionary stories that you've shared there. And I happen to look at my calendar and see that I'll be preaching, God willing, at the Friday Mass upcoming. And I will use some of your material that you've shared on this missionary moment. Just wonderful. All right. Well, we couldn't complete a Catholic Vitamins without our good friend, the deacon candidate from Naas, Ireland, Fergal O'Neill, and he's with us for this show. Here's Fergal on the gift of God's mercy.
Pope John Paul II called the family the basic cell of society, and rightfully so, for that is exactly what it is. In the social doctrine of the Catholic Church, we hear that the Church considers the family as the first natural society, with underived rights that are proper to it, and places it at the centre of social life. I suppose John Paul went and summed it up by saying, as the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live. The family is the first and vital cell of society. In its own way, it is a living image and historical representation of the mystery of the Church. The future of the world and of the Church, therefore, passes through the family. Now, from our days of studying general science, we're very aware that every living cell needs a nucleus that informs and guides and develops and gives meaning to the whole cell. So we should pause and ask ourselves the question, if the family unit is a cell, what exactly is the nucleus? Well, I found myself pondering this question recently, and having spent time reflecting on it, I became very aware that the nucleus of the family was mercy itself. If we look at the traditional enumeration of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, we can easily see that they are living values that should be at the heart of every loving family. To feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty. Jesus himself said, "What parent would give their child a stone when he asked for bread, or a snake if he asked for fish?" To clothe the naked. Something that we as parents should always bring to mind each and every time we're given the grace to be able to clothe our children. Parents will know that often this is a time of conflict and annoyance, getting on the school uniform or putting on the PJs at bedtime. to harbour the harbourless. Build up a home where all can anchor and be themselves and can receive the love and respect that is duly theirs as children of God. To visit the sick or those in prison, to ransom the captive. What parent would see their child suffer alone? What parent would not sell all his worldly possessions in order to see his children free and healthy? Perhaps of most interest to all parents during this holy year of faith are the spiritual works of mercy that the Church expects you as a parent to exercise within your family unit. Instruct the ignorant. Bring your children up in the faith. Explain all clearly and honestly, most of all through your own example and fidelity to the faith and to one another. Counsel the doubtful. Admonish the sinner. As parents, we can't be afraid to correct error and keep our homes open as places where all can return in times of joy and difficulty. Bear wrongs patiently and forgive offences willingly. I think as parents we need to keep the parable of the prodigal son ever before us. We should expect our children to err as they move through life. But we must also make sure that we will be there as support, encouragement and love. Yes, encouragement and love that they will need when things go wrong. No matter how hard it is, we cannot compromise on the truth, but simply reveal it as your wisdom directs. Finally, we are encouraged to pray for our children. Lift them up to Jesus and to his mercy. Entrust them to the Immaculate Heart of Mary each and every morning. She will be a mother to them and to you. Jesus will be with you every step of the way. He is, after all, the personification of mercy. And in following him, you ensure that the nucleus of your family is mercy. And this mercy will give life to a rich and vibrant Christian cell that will have a positive effect on the society in which you find yourself planted.
Thank you, Virgil. Dear Virgil really found out about family and mercy in recent days. Would you read his email?
I will. Catholic Vitamins listeners, please hear this. Hello, my dear friends. It all happened this weekend. Our youngest son, Carl, was struck by a car on Friday on the main road as he was coming home from school. He was being picked up by a neighbor, so neither myself or Mary were there when it happened. Michael, our eldest son, was there. Carl was brought to the hospital by ambulance for observation, and they decided to keep him in until Saturday afternoon. Thanks be to God, nothing broken, but plenty bounced about and a lot of bumps and bruises that are starting to get a little sore. You know, each and every morning after Mass, I stand before an image of the Mother of God and entrust my wife, Mary, and all our kids by name to her Immaculate Heart. I always ask her to protect the family from all physical danger and from every evil. As I was frantically coming home from school, having got the news of Friday, I was thinking that Our Lady was perhaps distracted or otherwise engaged that morning when I was offering up my prayer of protection. Stupid thoughts indeed. Our Blessed Mother does listen. She hears and responds. I know that now there were two nurses passing by when the accident happened. One attended to Carl, the other to our eldest lad, Michael, who witnessed everything. Both of my children were surrounded with care, which I know deep down was orchestrated through Our Lady. Difficult to think straight these days, as we are now thinking of what could have been, but we are truly grateful for having Carl up and running about again soon. So, Virgil, we lift you in prayer. We lift Carl. Oh, how scary that must have been. We lift Michael and Mary and all of your family members and ask God's tender mercy and quick healing.
So blessed and thankful that Carl is going to be okay. We have a few pieces of email before we end this podcast. We had an iTunes review.
Wow. Hey, go to iTunes. Do a review.
Yes. If you do, we'll get to read it. We can read about your name and everything on the air. Anyhow, this one came in and said, after hearing my first Catholic Vitamin podcast about a year ago, I wasn't only spiritually uplifted, but fired up. I knew I had to hear more. I started from its very beginning, and within a couple weeks, I had listened to a year's worth of vitamins.
Oh, my,
oh my gosh. And since then, I look forward to listening to their podcast each week. It's beautiful the way the hosts' love for one another shows through in the way they prattle with each other. I truly enjoy listening to their interviews with so many different types of people building up the kingdom of God. They have introduced me to some great books, some of which I have won through their Vita Scrabble game, and their music. Thanks to their links on their website, Catholic Vitamins, I have bought some nice contemporary and traditional Catholic music. Thank you, Deacon Tom and Dee, for your dedication and all of your inspiration. God bless, Mary. I think it's, yeah, Mary.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Mary.
That was lovely.
It really was. And, you know, Dee, I have often said to you that after my faith and after my marriage, what was one of my greatest gifts?
Becoming a deacon.
Yes. And one of the joys of being a deacon in earlier years was that I did a lot of pre-marriage work, some with you, Dee, and I often married couples, and I made outreach to someone recently whom I did marry, to a couple, and this Facebook message came in. Hello there, sweet, wonderful Deacon Tom. This woman is going in the will. Right now she is going in the will. Hello there, sweet, wonderful Deacon Tom and your lovely wife, Dee.
Oh, yes. I'll second that motion.
Matthew and I were so blessed almost 6 years ago to be guided through our marriage preparation and to celebrate our wedding with you too. We miss you, yet we feel so close since we've been enjoying our Catholic vitamins. We're learning so much and appreciate all the beautiful stories, people, and music you share on your podcast. We're almost caught up to the current episode, and then we can try our hand at the next word scrabble. Love and blessing, Lissa from Louisville, Colorado.
Lissa and Matt.
I'll tell you what.
Lovely couple.
Among our favorites, absolute favorites for sure. And they love dogs, too.
They do. They do. And we love Matt's parents.
Yeah.
They've become very good friends. We actually got to have a meal with them when we were back in Colorado a month ago. Oh, I wanted to say one more thing. Remember the other day when we were sitting at the table and we were watching Mike Huckabee
on TV? Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I said, he comes out and prattles.
Yeah, he does a prattle at the beginning of the show.
Except we decided that his prattle is more serious and
more
meaningful than ours.
Hey, this is the year of faith. I was able to preach, I think I may have said this earlier, I was able to preach 5 days this week that were just ending, and I have copies of my homilies if anybody is interested in any of those, and I've also put together a 3-page resource sheet, things that people can do for the year of faith, and it includes books, some of which have been as a result of our guests on Catholic Vitamins, and CDs and DVDs. So if you're interested, send us an email or call us and we'll see that you get the information.
So let's do Vita Scrabble.
Okay.
Oh, just above that, I forgot to bring over my list of SQPN podcasts to review a couple more this week. So I'll do that next time.
Okay.
Just go to sqpn.com, everybody, and look at the long list of wonderful, wonderful Catholic content on there. Vita Scrabble for next time, vitamin N. N's in X. 7 letters.
I have to tell you, okay, this is vitamin N, take a guess. It ends in X. And I have to tell you that if you get this, we are going to double up on the serious prize or prizes and on the sweet treats, because this is a kind of a wow. But think about it and call our feedback number, 206-350-3789, or send us an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. Let us know who you are and how to get in touch with you. And take a guess, of course.
So we had a winner for vitamin M.
Oh, we did?
It was Chris again.
Again? Oh, my heavens.
Are we going to make a rule that the same person can't win more than two times in a row?
Yeah, within like a month or something. we did that once before, and then we sort of forgot about it.
Yeah. So Chris, who won last time, also is our winner this week. More sweet treats for Linus.
He was so sweet in that little squib that we played earlier in the show. You got to bite a minute, dear?
I've got to bite a minute. You hear people saying sometimes that there are fewer miracles nowadays. Might it not rather be that there are fewer people living a life of faith? Mm-hmm. That's attributed to
St. Jose Maria Escriva. All right, dear friends, set your faith on fire. Listen to Catholic Vitamins. Share words with other people about our Catholic faith and about Catholic Vitamins. We enjoy this. We enjoy you. We pray for you. And we thank our guest, Dave, for sharing his faith with us on this show.
Bye.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, a little while ago, we opened the show. We played some music from Donna Corey Gibson. She has an album, a wonderful album called Divine Mercy Prayers. And we played a 3 o'clock prayer. And I'd like to close the show today with Jesus, You Are Mercy. You can find Donna and her wonderful music at DonnaCoreyGibson.com.
You are love, you are life, you are truth, abiding light, but your mercy is greater than them all. Only hope in despair, rest for heart, peace in fear, and the remedy for the children of the Father. From the heart of the Father and found in you. With us at the hour of death, source of joy better than the heaven.